It was good to see so many people here this morning, and we know some aren't feeling well, so let's consider that, and those who are going to have surgery tomorrow, let's remember them in our prayers. I asked Al if he knew this song. He said he thought so, but I guess not. But anyway, it's a song that it's been around for a long time, and I know I've sung it many times, and we usually consider the subject of counting the cost from the standpoint of salvation. What's it going to cost us? You know, the cost of discipleship. What's it going to cost us as far as the sacrifices we need to make in order to be saved? But from this song, we're going to look at it from the view of being lost. What will that mean to you if you don't make it to heaven? I mean, for most of us, that is our goal. For all of us, really, that is our goal. We want to go to heaven. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we spend the time worshiping God and serving God and trying to live in a way which is pleasing to God. And so we want to be saved. And the thought that we could lose our soul is terrifying to us. And we don't want that to happen. So let's look at this, and we will... Yeah. I say we will. I guess the battery died on me. Like I say, some of you might remember the song by this title, and we sing it every once in a while. Maybe not here, but I know I have quite a few times in the past. And several thoughts come to mind when we look at this song, and these are things we need to consider really on a daily basis. We need to consider these. Have you counted the cost? I mean, nobody is exempt from dying. We know that. Everybody's going to die. We cannot escape that appointment. It's appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so, whenever that time comes, we should be prepared to face God in judgment. For most of us, we know that time is probably a lot closer than when we started out our journey. And so, we know it's getting closer. As we get up in years, we know it's going to come that time, unless the Lord decides to come back and take everyone all at once. And the problem is, many people are not prepared. In fact, many people that go to church on a regular basis are not prepared. And so we have to look at that. You know, Matthew 16:26, for what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, we ask that question a lot. Jesus asked it, and we quote it quite often. I mean, does this world really have so much to offer you that you're willing to give up your relationship with God? That you're willing not to serve God at all because of what this world offers you? See, we only have one soul, and we know that. And it was given to us upon our conception, when we came into existence. And so, starting from that very cell at conception, we were us. And this soul is housed in our fleshly bodies. And the soul is eternal. One thing about it, our bodies are going to die. They wither away and they die. But our soul is going to continue. A lot of people don't even know that. And in this world, a lot of people do not know that there's a place called heaven, that where the good people go, and a place called hell where the bad people go. Most people in this world think, well, I'm going to heaven. And it doesn't matter how they live, they just think they're going there. And they're going to be surprised. We talk quite a bit about that. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So, long after we are dead physically, our soul is going to continue. Our soul will continue throughout eternity. So, the question to you is, have you considered that? Have you considered your soul will continue? And then you have to ask yourself, is what I am doing going to help my soul get into heaven? That's what we need to consider. And we need to be paying attention to that. And that's why Colossians 3, it says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and not on the things of this earth. So your eternal destiny is decided by the decisions you make in this life. And usually when we make decisions, we sit down and put it in the balance scale. We kind of weigh it out and try and figure out, okay, if I do this, that may happen. If I do that, this might happen. And we make decisions. And decisions have consequences when we act upon them. And so we need to look at that. So let's look at this song and hopefully learn some things about our soul. See, verse 1. See, there's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. I mean, that's what these people do. I mean, they cross the line. And in this case, crossing the line isn't a good thing. It is basically leaving the relationship with God. And that's what happens when we sin. Our sins make a separation between us and God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us that. So when we choose to sin, we separate ourselves from God. And that basically is saying we reject God. A lot of people say, well, I don't reject God, I just reject His rules. Or I just don't want to do what the Bible says, and I'm just going to do my own thing. We'll talk about that next month. I got a sermon, do your own thing. But it won't be good for you, that's for sure. And so the problem is, the call of God's Spirit is lost. Why? It's lost in riotous living. It's lost in sinful activities. And for a lot of these people, there is no hope for them, because they haven't even considered God and serving God. And they hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. That's where this world is. This world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's where this world is. This world is all going in there. And they want us to join in. The whole world wants us to join in and do those things. And even they ask you to participate in it. And even Peter mentions that they consider you strange for not getting in the same excess of dissipation. In other words, by jumping in and doing it, whatever it might be. I mean, and that's what they do. See, it's like to drawing a line in the sand and seeing who will cross it. In some cases, either in rebellion or support. You know, some of you know the story of the Alamo, where Colonel Travis drew the line in the sand. Anybody who wants to stay and fight for freedom can cross this line. Anybody who doesn't can leave. Turns out the whole company crossed the line, and they stood with him. And a few days later, they all died because they took that stand. But while events in history might serve as some sort of kind of guidance and some sort of inspiration for us, we have to know there is a line that God has in place. When we cross that line, we're in trouble. That line is sin. When we cross into sin, we're in trouble. And God makes the appeal, and He asks us, return to Me. All the prophets of the Old Testament, that was their job. Return to the Lord, and you'll be saved. You'll have blessings if you'll just serve the Lord and be pleasing to the Lord. It'll be great for you. And even the people knew, you know, if we served God, He'd probably bless us like He promised He would, and it would be good for us. But then they said, we're not going to do that. We're just going to do our own thing. And so in rebellion, that's what they did. They crossed the line. For us, when we cross that line, how do we get back? You know, for most people, you cross the line, there's no going back. And that's pretty much the way it is with sin, unless we take the necessary steps to have our sins washed away. So crossing the line suggests you have taken things too far. We're going to talk about that also next month in one of the sermons. See, God calls us through His Spirit. The Spirit of God is the message of God, the Holy Spirit. And He calls us to obedience. He calls us to faithfulness. He calls us to righteous living. He calls us to be children of God and to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. He calls us in many ways. He calls us out of darkness. And so the gospel call is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the message that God gives to mankind, and all have been called to obey the gospel. In Titus 2, it says, "The grace of God hath appeared unto all men." But we know that all men do not receive that. They do not obey it. And therefore, those people are going to be lost. Many pay no attention to God's invitation. And we echo it all the time. We offer God's invitation all the time. But there's so many people that aren't in here, they're not hearing that message. And they're certainly not going to turn on 60 Minutes and hear the message on how to be saved through the gospel. And that's not going to happen. And they're not going to hear that on CNN or Fox News or any other news agency. That's not going to happen. See, these are those who know not God and keep not His commandments. You know, that's the punishment is for these people, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. And why? They don't know God. They don't keep His commandments. I'll get it out in a minute. All right, there we go. So many are rushing headlong with the world that is focused upon pleasure and not paying attention to the fact that there is even a soul that will stand before God in judgment. And that's the way most people are. There are some who, yeah, they realize, okay, I have a soul, I'll stand before God, but I'm just going to do what I want to do, regardless of the fact. And so, yeah, they know what's coming to them. See, most of the forces in the world today are trying to lead people away from God. And I'm talking human forces. I'm talking political parties. I'm talking everything this world has to offer. They're all trying to lead people away from God. And that's really sad, but that's the reality we're faced with. And you wonder how effective they are. Just look around. See how many people we have in here. I mean, they're doing their job. See, most people do not like it when told that they are wrong or they are doing something that God calls sinful. They don't like it. So it is easier to dismiss God from the equation. Well, there's no God, so there's no, quote, punishment that He's going to offer. So we'll just live our life until the end, and the only thing we have to fear is the grave. Now, in verse 2, you may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. So we have to look at that. The word barter means to trade. Trade something we have for that. In this case, we trade our soul salvation for a moment of sin. And so you are trading your soul's security for something that is temporary. Everything in this world is going to pass away. It's all temporal. The things that are seen are temporal. And we're trading our soul's security for something that is temporary, that will not last. And it lasts just a moment. It lasts for a brief time. And the writers talk about that in the scriptures. See, Paul talked about the momentary light affliction is not going to be compared with the eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. If you ever find yourselves depressed or feeling down, pick up 2 Corinthians and read chapter 4. It is encouraging, it is uplifting, and it's something that's good to read every so often. Because he starts off, we do not lose heart, though the outer man is decaying. In verse 16, though the outer man is decaying, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very encouraging. So if you feel yourself down and out, just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It will lift you up and give you comfort. See, the problem is Satan makes sin look appealing. And that's how this world operates. We talked about this recently. This whole world is based on getting your sexual gratification any way that you can. And Satan says, oh, that's fun. Let's have some fun. Everybody have their fun. And you look at the scenes out there, the beach parties. They're all out there just waving their hands like crazy. They think they're having fun, getting drunk. And then next thing you know, they're coming up pregnant, stuff like that. And yeah, Satan makes things look appealing. Even the little things that we might not consider for a moment, they look, hey, I want to do that. And that's what sin is. It gives us just that moment. In reality, sin is bitter, it is dangerous, it is deceptive, and it will cause the destruction of our soul in eternal torment. A lot of people don't think of it that way. A lot of us think of sin as just a boo-boo, a mistake, just an error in judgment. That's how we think about it. But God despises sin so much that he will take the person involved in sin and cast him into an eternal torment. We need to learn to look at sin the way God looks at sin. And we need to see how bitter and dangerous it is. Even, hey, that looks like fun. Have my gratification and stuff like that. And it can cause the destruction of our soul. So we need to be very careful there. Oops. Now in verse 3, it says, while the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? See, Jesus is the door. And Jesus stands with open arms because that is what God desires. The door of his mercy is open to you as long as you live. That's something we have to know. But there's going to come a time when we have not chosen to serve God. He's basically going to close that door and we'll be left outside. There's even a song in our songbook, Standing Outside the Door. Or maybe not this songbook, but I remember one of the songs of the church, Standing Outside the Door. And it's just a very sad song because you see your loved ones over there enjoying the rapture of heaven, and you're not. I mean, you've missed it. And so that's very sad. But Jesus is that door that God holds open. And as long as you have a mind to process, you have the opportunity to go through that door, to go through Jesus, to be saved. A lot of people do not take that. So the invitation has been offered to you. And hopefully you have taken that call of the invitation and responded to it. See, God loves you so much that he gave his son to die in your place. But also remember that time will run out for everyone, including you. If you turn your back on God, if you choose to do your own thing, if you choose to live your own life, time is going to run out sometime. We don't know when that time is. Some people think, well, I'll straighten up before my time is over. But we don't have any promise of tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. See, God made it possible for you to be saved, but you have to make that choice on your own. Choices have consequences. Remember that. If you choose not to be saved, then you're going to have to face the consequences. And when God says, depart from me into eternal destruction, where Jesus described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire quencheth not, no. That's your choice. You make that choice. But if we want to be saved, we're going to make the choices to follow God and do his will. So the only best advice we can give is don't press your luck. Some people think, well, I can hold off. I can hold off a week. I can hold off a year. I'll do this when I turn 85 or something like that. No, you better do it now. Don't take that chance. So we need to come to God in obedience through our faith. And God can heal us. He can cleanse us of our sins. And God wants to heal us. But you must yield to His will. So it's on you. God wants to. God's not willing that any perish. Some people take that verse and say, well, if God doesn't want anybody to perish, nobody's going to perish. No. God told us what we need. He gave us everything we need to be saved, and He expects us to do those things. So we must yield to His will if we want to be saved. And we have to humble ourselves before God and say, not my will, but thy will be done. And we need to do His will, and we will be saved. See, in the chorus of the song, have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? Like I say, a very sorrowful, sad song to be sure. But if we pay attention to it, have I counted the cost if my soul should be lost? What's that going to mean for me in eternity? It's not going to be good. And we don't have to suffer that condemnation. We don't have to suffer through eternity because God gave us the opportunity. He told us what we need to do, and that's what we should do. You know, in Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Yeah, I mean, why do you wait? Why do you tarry? Some people do. Now, we've all been baptized, and even after our baptism, we must be careful to not allow Satan to draw us away from the salvation that we can have by offering the pleasure of sin. And if you've gotten involved in the pleasure of sin, turn your life around. Most of us have done that. We recognize that. We're here. We're interested in our spiritual souls, and that's why we're here. A lot of people don't really care about their souls, and they're going to be paying the price. So we should weigh the cost of our soul and what it means to be lost. I mean, it should scare us when you think about it. If we contemplate the fact that we don't do exactly what God wants us to do, we're going to be burned for an eternity in hell, in torment. I mean, thinking about that should scare us and motivate us. Be pleasing to God. Do things the way God wants us to do them, and we have the assurance of eternal life. We can have that assurance. And so we think about those things. And it's important for us to know these things. And that's our lesson. Have you counted the cost? So think about that song. Let it weigh on your mind and realize, okay, I've got to do better. I mean, all of us do. I mean, even people who know their Bible very well, there's room for improvement. We always have to feel that way. We may have so much knowledge, but you know what? There's still more things we have to learn. I have to investigate and study and learn more about God and do those things that God considers pleasing to Him. Sharing the gospel message and living a faithful life, being a good example, letting your light shine. All of these things, so very important for each and every one of us. So, when you think about, have you counted the cost? That's going to be our lesson. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.